When you have a situation where it's a midrash, and it's clear that the plain shot is that the famine was 7 years. So then what do you do with the midrash? It's not to be taken literally. Pshat means what happened. Midrash is certain ideas. In many cases we have that. Rashi himself, when he brings down midrashim, we've gone over, this is very, very important, because a lot of times people confuse the midrash, it becomes the pshat. But very often the midrash is contrary to the pshat. The midrash, if it's not contrary to the pshat, it means that there's different levels of the idea. It's a deeper level of insight. But there are times when the midrash is contrary to the pshat. Then you have a real problem on your hands. I tried to work it out. That Rashi, when Avram and Sarah are going down to Egypt, and he says, "Hinei no yadati, behold, I know that you're a beautiful woman." So that's a bit like, "Why? Well, now you found out? You didn't know." So Rashi, one of his pshatim, he gives a few pshatim as to what does it mean. And one of them, oh, he said, because most people lose their beauty while they're traveling. The travail of traveling, it takes away your looks. But she was so beautiful. That's one pshat. And also one pshat that he didn't know until now how beautiful she was because of the tznius. Because of the modesty. But then Rashi says, but that's all midrash. But pshat is that now it's a danger. Now it's become, you know, he knew that she was beautiful, but it was never a problem. Now it's become a problem. You see? So then that's contradictory. What do you mean? You just told me he didn't know. It means that of course he knew, but it wasn't a matter of significance to him. His focus, it's telling you about the tzaddik, that his focus in terms of his relationship to Sarah was not, he knew that she was a physically beautiful woman, but that was not the essence. The essence, of course, was her qualities, her virtues. So that's what it means. It's like he didn't know. It had no significance. It wasn't the factor. Most people are attracted to the superficial. The Midrash is teaching you an idea. Okay? Now, I want to take that same approach over here. I want to speculate a little bit, whatever the case, you know. And provide something which perhaps would fit the midrash. Because what do you mean? I mean, where's there room here for a point? I mean, in the case with Rashi, when he says that he didn't know that she was beautiful, so there's room for an. I mean, he did know as if, but he didn't know in the sense that it was important to him. But what are you going to do over here? Where are you going to go? I'll put that challenge to you. If you agree with me that it's not meant, it's not the pshat. So what does it mean then? What's the point of telling? What happened? Nothing happened. The famine continued. So what's the point then? What point is being made over here? We do know that Yaakov achieved a tremendous degree of reverence in Egypt. It makes that point. It's very, very hard to comprehend the extensive mourning when he died. That's why the Rashi comments on that. There were 70 days. First there were 30 days. 40, what was it? 40 days of embalming. But there was a lengthy period of mourning, national mourning. And Yaakov had to be concerned. That was one of the reasons why he didn't want to be buried in Egypt. That they would want to bury him in Egypt because he was such a great person in their eyes. And the dignitaries that they sent to accompany him back. It's an amazing kind of a thing. It strikes us as being strange. What did Yaakov do? He was there for 17 years. He met once with Paro, gave him a bracha, and left. Yosef was able to secure very good conditions for the family. The choicest places in Goshen, and he fed them, and all of that, took care of them, all their needs. They were treated better than the Egyptians. The Egyptians had to pay and use up all their money. And then he rationed. They got rationed. But the family, everything was done. No problem. Paro sent. Yosef worked it out with tremendous wisdom. That is that Paro sent the wagons. Paro authorized Goshen. Goshen was the best place. Paro sent the wagons. And he says, don't worry about, Yosef tells him, don't worry about your kelim, your vessels. Now, what happens when they come Vaidabru? Bear in mind also that right after the reconciliation, the pasuk points out while it's happening, when Yosef let out his voice with a cry, he made sure that there were no Egyptians there, if you remember that. He didn't allow anybody to be there when he made himself known. Then it says, Vayishmu Mitzrayim, Egypt heard, and the house of Paro heard. It doesn't tell you what they heard. Then it says at the end of that whole story about the reconciliation, it gets back to Paro. That's in Mem Hei Tes Zayin. Vakol Nishma Beis Paro. The message was heard in the house of Paro. Lemo, Bo Achei Yosef. That the brothers of Yosef have come. Vayita Vieni Paro Vieni Avodav. And it was good in the eyes of Paro and in the eyes of his servants. And Paro said to Yosef, tell your brothers to do this. That is, Yosef didn't even make the request. But Paro told, it comes from Paro. Yosef never had to make the request. Tell your brothers to load up and to come to Canaan. And take your father and his house and bow and come to me. And I'll give you the best of the land of Egypt and you'll eat the fat of the land. And then he goes on to command them to take the wagons and so on and so forth. It was Paro, by the way. This is Paro speaking. Paro was telling them not to be concerned. Not to be concerned. This is all from Paro. Why? Because v'einchem al tachos al kleichem. Do not be concerned about your things. Kituv kol eretz Yisrael lachem. Because the best of the land of Egypt is for you. Okay. Then, yeah. Then you go back to 46, 31. Yosef instructed his brothers that he's going to go up and tell Paro that my brothers and my father's house that are in Canaan have come to me. And it's interesting. Now the instructions that he gives them, they're shepherds because they're men of cattle. They were men of cattle. And they brought everything down. Yosef wanted them to remain as they were, not to join Paro and become involved in the government. He wanted them to stay in Goshen and to continue the family occupation. But he's concerned about that. He's telling them when Paro will call for you, and he'll ask you, what do you do? What's your profession? So then you should say, Anshei Mikna Hayu Avadecha. You should say that he's very, very concerned over here that Paro is going to want the brothers to join, to become part of the government or whatever it is, the army. So you better tell him that you're Anshei Mikneh, that this is a family tradition. The Rav points it out in his Agada, that they didn't just say that we're shepherds, but it's a tradition in our family, because that's something which is very significant. You know, especially in those days, that you continue the profession of your parents. Why? Bavur Teishu Be'eretz Goshen. So that you can live in the land of Goshen. Kisavas Mitzrayim. He did, because it's an abomination. You know, they kept the shepherds aside because they worshipped the sheep. So this way you'll assure that you'll stay in the land of Goshen. Everything has to be worked out diplomatically. And then Yosef came and he told Paro, my father and my brothers and all their animals and everything they have, they've come to Eretz Canaan, and behold, they're in the land of Goshen. And then he took a few of his brothers and placed them before Paro. And Paro asked them, what do you do? And they said to Paro that we're shepherds. And they said to Paro, Logubar is Banu. We've come to dwell in the land because there's no feed for the sheep. because the famine is very strong. And now, let your servants live in the land of Goshen. And Paro said to Yosef, saying, your father and your brothers have come to me. The land of Egypt is before them. In the best of the land, settle your father and your brothers. Let them live in the land of Goshen. And if you know, and there's among Anshei Chayil, there's warriors, then I want you to place them in charge of my cattle. Anshei Chayil, whatever, I'm not sure exactly what this means. Rashi doesn't mean warrior. Bekiyin biyumnasan, liros tzon. That they're really adept at their malacha, at their work. So I want you to place them over my sheep, over my possessions. And then you have the meeting of Yosef. You have the meeting of Yosef and... You have the meeting of Paro and Yaakov. I would say that there's something else. The Torah does not describe all the different things that are going on over here. What the attitude of the Egyptians is. The Torah leaves out what's going on in the country, what's happening, and what's the effects of what's going on. The seven goodly years, then there's the 7 years of famine. And you don't know what the feelings are. What's the effect on the psyche of the people and all of that. So I'm just going to surmise. Did the people believe when the famine hit them? We read it simplistically. Okay, no problem. Okay, we have to go through the 7 years. But 7 years is going to be a... Yeah, that's easy for us to say now, but if you're living in Egypt at the time, I would say that there's a serious dilemma. There's a tremendous tension. There's always a tremendous tension. There's a very severe famine going on, and it's clear that there's not enough. And it looks like we're going to... Not to mention that they've used up all the money. So this is... this has an impact on the psyche of the people. So there's another element, it seems to me. We discussed why did Yosef uproot the family and cause them to come down in Egypt, and I gave practical reasons. But you see that Paro was extremely excited about this. Why was he so excited? It's not the way we would expect it. All right, so Yosef asked, so he gave permission. But you see, Paro is... The whole initiative comes from Paro. Why was it so important? Now, it seems to me that... Paro, we would imagine that Paro believed that that this is Nevuah and everything is going to work out. But there's a tremendous dilemma. There's a psychological component. There's a depression that sets in. Not just physically, but during the Depression in America, that was a terrible, terrible time. There were people that committed suicide. It's not just an economic depression, it becomes a psychological depression. There's a loss of hope. That's the way people are. It's bleak. They don't know that there's going to be... When you're in that situation, you don't know that it's going to end. Yosef knew because Yosef was the Navi, he was the prophet. But the Paro himself, there's one thing, however, that will lift people's spirits. And that is that when people come from a different country and they resettle and they leave that land, and that was a tremendous vote of confidence. And they're not just ordinary people. Bo'oache Yosef, the brothers of Yosef. Paro was all excited about that. That if this one individual, Yosef himself, was responsible, and he could do so much, and he saved the country, and he transformed everything, so imagine if his brothers, but not just his brothers, the patriarch, Yaakov. Yaakov had a tremendous reputation. I'm sure that he told him about his father, Yaakov. So when Yaakov came down to the land with the family, it was as though the famine came to an end. I mean, practically, that's the pshat. The pshat is that the famine was really there. But 99% of anything you go through is psychological. Immediately it had a psychological effect upon the nation. It's as though, especially Paro, though. Especially Paro. We're not talking here about the man on the street. when Paro was very excited about that, because this was the ultimate proof and a demonstration that things were going to be great, that these people whom he looked up to as being unbelievable kind of people. And that's why he said, if you have anybody, let them be in charge of mine, because they're very successful people. He wanted them to be in charge of his. It's kind of like, you know, you'd like to give your money to Buffett and let him invest it. You know, invest it for me. So the aura that had built up was a very powerful aura. And therefore, from that point on, there was a change in the psychological attitude of the people, especially with Paro, and it filters down. Paro was leaders and everything. It gave them a new sense of strength, a new sense of hope. Of course, the famine was still there, but we could see that it's come. They wouldn't have come down here. They would not have chosen to dwell in this place and uproot everything and bring it all down here if we're all going to die over here from famine. So that was a tremendous vote of confidence. On a similar level, I mean, you could see that when Israel was going through the tough time, the Intifada a few years ago, and everybody stopped coming. So when you're going through that, it seems like it's never going to end. It's just gloom and doom. It turned out that, thank God, at least as far as that's concerned, I'm talking about the bombings have gone. All right, there's bombing in Sderot, but it's not as bad. I remember, like, in the worst years of the Intifada, like every week, a few buses were blowing up. So was it, and you had this terrible, depressed feeling. Now, we do that in America. If you're there and nobody's coming and nobody wants to go there, now if a whole group of people were to come and do Aliyah and move in, that's a tremendous vote of confidence. So that's the basic idea. In my opinion, that's what Chazal is saying. That from a psychological point of view, the attitude changed. It was as though it was over. They knew that it was going to come to an end. It was just a matter of working it through now. But that tension, that this is the gloom, maybe it's not going to end. In spite of the dream and everything, when you're caught up in a certain kind of misery, it's like it's never going to end. It's kind of like on Yom Kippur, like will this ever end? I mean, you know it's going to end, but it's kind of like it's never going to end. So that lifted the psyche. That's what I think is the meaning of that Medrash. It, from a psychological point of view, it had the effect as though the famine had ended.